Godzilla is now in New York City.
Monster 01 and 02, commence the attack.
Dylan, I just want to remind you that it's too late to back out now. Too late to back out now. No, close the door. No. Lock it in.
It's like the commercial at the beginning of the movie with the guy trying to run off the boat.
That is funny. So we just sat down here about an hour or so ago, finished Voron, the Unbelievable. Yeah, you can tell how enthused Dylan was about this.
Very
enthused.
I might have been mildly bored throughout most of the movie.
He seemed quite bored with Voron, the Unbelievable. He was not, I don't think he was quite believing in the power of the film.
It was unbelievable.
Voron, unbelievably boring at times.
whoa.
That was unbelievable.
Voron is, believe it or not, the subject of our episode this week. For Stomp This Way. My name is Aaron.
My name is Ange.
And my name is Dylan.
And we are here to discuss this 1958 black and white Toho.
What's black and white have to do with anything, Aaron?
Science fiction movie. You know, I see color. I'm not gonna lie.
Oh, my.
That's pretty good.
No,
that was actually pretty good. Jesus.
Oh, boy.
Anyway.
We're getting kicked off the airways pretty early on. So, like usual, we're going to start off with how this movie came about. And we got quite the interesting little tale
to background.
Spin. And then we will get into, we're not going to watch.
You'll hear the trailer.
You'll hear the original trailer. It might be the Japanese trailer. It might be the American trailer. I'm not sure. Last week I said the Japanese trailer, but I actually put the American trailer on there. So, oops.
My bad.
But no. So, Voron the Unbelievable. Alternate titles. And the original ABC title, about that in a second.
ABC.
Was going to be called, was going to be titled Voron Monster from the East. The Japanese title translates to Giant Monster Voron, just like
Daikaiju Voron.
It's Daikaiju Voron. And then the U.S. release was called Voron the Unbelievable, which is what this movie, I think, is most commonly
That's what
by.
Your version is called, even though it's the 1958
Even though it's the Japanese
original.
Version, yeah.
It's whatever.
They do have the American edit on there, but I didn't.
Which the American edit, I think I read, came out in 1962, and that's where the title The Unbelievable Part
the
came from. So.
You gotta spice it up a bit.
The Unbelievable. It's like them! Exclamation point.
Okay, so, making up, like I said, this was originally planned as a Toho ABC, yes, that ABC, co-production. At this time, Disney did not own ABC. Remember that company we talked about last week? What was it called? Like ABPT or something like that? They were the ones that owned ABC at the time. I don't know when Disney bought ABC. But
yes.
Sometime quite later, I'm going to assume. But ABPT went out of business. And although ABC continued to operate, they did not have the money to fund this film, Voron, this co-production. So this movie had already began production. I think it had already started filming. So they actually had filmed this in, you know, the letterbox format, like the square format for
4x3
or whatever for TVs. And when you watch it, they actually stretched it out to the 3:4 ratio or whatever for general films. They released it on, what date was the release date? Let's see.
October 14th, 1958.
Yeah, so they released it in October of that year. The runtime was 87 minutes. I think you read on the back of that DVD case, the American version was like 17 minutes shorter.
Yeah, it's 110, an hour 10, so 70 minutes.
Yeah, so, yeah. But we did not watch that version, because believe it or not, Dylan, I think you would have hated that version worse.
Well, thank you for sparing me.
You're welcome. So just some interesting tidbits about this movie. Haruo Nakajima was pretty seriously injured when an explosive went off directly under him, and he had to be replaced for the remainder of filming.
Poor guy.
The film, the scene, I believe, is actually in the movie, and we watched it, where they roll the truck up under Varan and detonate it. Poor Haruo Nakajima. That could not have felt good. like I said, Toho later cropped the film to fit widescreen format and released it in theaters. And then we get to the U.S. re-release. So after the deal with ABC fell through, Crown International Pictures acquired the rights to distribute the movie. The film was heavily edited, and most of the Japanese plot / actors were cut out and replaced with a plot revolving around Western actor Myron Healy. I've never heard of him, but he might have been popular back then. I'm not sure. They never actually say the name Varan. He is only referred to as Obaki. And his roar was changed. His gliding scene was removed. And close-up shots of his claws were added. But, 17 minutes was cut from that version. But it is pretty terrible. Well, unfortunately, I could not find the box office numbers for Varan.
That's unacceptable, Aaron.
I looked pretty hard.
And by hard 5 minutes, no, I'm kidding.
I dug about as deep as the first page of Google. Couldn't find him. So I don't know how well this movie did. I'm going to say it probably didn't do great in Japan, or probably didn't have that great ratings when it was put on TV in America either. But that's just my guess. I don't know that for sure. So that's really all I had as far as pre-production went. There wasn't really much that I could find easily on hand. But we're going to take a break here and listen to the trailer. When we come back, I will read off the cast and crew, and Dylan will read off the plot synopsis. So, see you in a minute.
When modern Navy scientists defy the unknown mysteries of the past, perpetuated by centuries of native beliefs, then nature strikes in all its vengeance in Varan, the Unbelievable. For generations, the legend was passed on. They said Varan was there, deep in the still waters. They said, let Varan sleep.
That lake water's gonna be contaminated after we finish the tests. Probably affect the fish, too. We just can't take any chances.
But those people have depended on their lake for their livelihood all their lives. And their parents before them.
Anna, now should we be this concerned about a handful of people when we might perfect something that could benefit all mankind?
Jim.
But the Navy commander would not heed their warning. He moved forward, ever searching, ever probing, deeper and deeper, until it was too late. Varan rose from the depths slowly, unrelentingly, to wreak its vengeance on a civilization that wanted to know too much. Tumultuous. Terrifying. Awesome, it will shock you to the core. Varan, the Unbelievable.
All right, we are back. Let's go ahead and read off this cast and crew. So this movie is directed by Ishiro Honda.
No way.
Written by Ken Kuronuma. Shinichi Sekizawa. Effects by Eiji Tsuburaya. Music by Akira Fukube.
Yeah.
And starring, here we go, I'm going to butcher these real good. Starring Kozo Nomura, Ayumi Sanada, Fumito Matsuo, Kureya Senda, Haruo Nakajima as Varan, and also Katsumi Tezuka as Varan after Haruo Nakajima got injured. So, also there is some small role-playing actors, several that are pretty famous from other Godzilla movies, but I didn't want the cast list to be 10 miles long. So.
The guy who plays Dr. Shirazawa was in this movie.
Yeah, I can't remember his name off the top of my head. I'm such a terrible Godzilla fan. But anyway, so why don't you read off this plot summary that I was so nice to write.
After her brother is killed by mysterious circumstances, Yuriko Shinjo travels to a remote village in northern Japan along with fellow reporter Motohiko Horiguchi and Professor Kenji Uwazaki. There they discover the ancient beast that locals have named Baradagi. The creature rises from the lake and destroys the village before returning to his underwater dwelling. The military is soon mobilized and they drive the creature, now dubbed Varan, out of the lake. Their weapons have no effect, however, and Varan glides off toward the sea. He soon makes his way to Tokyo, where he wreaks havoc until the military realizes Varan has a tendency to swallow flares. They attach bombs to the flares, and Varan consumes two of them. The two bombs then detonate inside of Varan, killing him.
It's deep. It's deep. So, you can immediately tell by my plot summary that the characters don't matter in this movie. They literally... I'll go ahead and say that I actually enjoy the first 45 minutes of this movie quite a bit. From the time that I really like the opening scene when the two butterfly, like, they're going to this village in the first place, driving, you know, like in old movies where they're like twisting the wheel like 180 degrees to go see some rare butterfly.
In some remote village.
Some remote village, and they are killed by Varan. We don't see Varan in this opening scene, but.
But he did it.
But he did it. He did it. So, but I like that scene, and then I like this movie from the time that we see his sister and the doctor or the professor or whatever, Kenji, the scientist guy, and this other reporter that really doesn't matter. They show up and they go to this village, and Kenji is immediately a jerk to these like villagers. He's like, "Your god doesn't exist. You're made it all up. I'm gonna go save that kid."
He is a jerk.
It's funny. And then anyway, so then, you know, Varan kind of they tick off Varan, and Varan comes out and destroys the village, and then the military like tries to run him out of the lake, and then he like comes out and rubs with the military angry. And like traps Kenji and Yuriko in the cave or something, and then is led away by flares. But I think this first half of this movie is actually pretty entertaining. And Dylan, I know you were bored with it from the get go. For me, I mean, it wasn't bad, but
yeah. I mean. Yeah. I was pretty bored for most of
the movie. I could tell you just were not buying it.
Bears and Raids Again.
Huh?
It Bears and Raids
Again. Would you say that you were more entertained than Godzilla Raids Again or not?
Maybe at the end.
Maybe at the end.
Like literally like the last 10 or so minutes of the movie. Yeah. But other than that, I was...
Not feeling it.
Do you think you're better than Raids Again there?
Well, I'll tell that in my final thoughts. But the second half of this movie does really
grind
struggle.
To a halt.
Yeah. The second half, I mean, there are still quote-unquote action scenes we have where Varan attacks a boat and then they drop depth charges on Varan.
Literally, there are sequences in this movie that drag on where they're just doing nothing for no reason.
And then, of course, he attacks Tokyo, but the characters, like our three main characters that are introduced at the beginning of this movie, really drop out of the second half of this movie. Literally nowhere to be found. They are not important at all until like the very end when Kenji drives
really
the truck.
That's really why this movie's bad. There's like no characters that I was like, okay, this character's going to pull me through this.
Although I could remember their names because they scream their names constantly. Kenji-san!
Kenji-san!
Kenji-san! Yuriko-san! Yuriko-san! Chibi!
Chibi!
The dog, Chibi. I love the dog, Chibi.
God.
And Gen. Gen!
Gen!
Gen! Gen is also the name of the main character in Ultraman Taro.
No one cares.
I care. I'm watching not Ultraman Taro. I take that back. I am sorry, you diehard fans.
You're going to have to edit it
Don't
out.
Don't kill me. Ultraman Leo.
Leo.
Leo. Leo. Leo. Leo. Sorry. But Dill's running off again. Get him by the ankles.
Lord almighty. Yeah, no, the problem, I think the biggest problem with this movie is that there's no characters that you can get behind that you're like, okay, here's a character that will drag you through this ridiculous movie.
Yeah.
Nope, nothing.
There is no characters. Like, even, you know...
There are people in this movie.
There are people.
They are not characters. They're just people.
There is people. When we talked about them, I said, you know, I didn't really care for any of those characters, but at least the professor had, like, a personality and delivered a couple of, like, unintentionally funny lines. Here, like, even the professor is, like, the most boring, drab professor, like, ever construed by cinema.
They're like, go get an actual professor.
Well, he is an actor. I've seen him in some other movies. But, yeah, he is super... And everybody... I feel like a lot of people, like, in a lot of the scenes where they're running away from Varan or whatever, they are just so, like, underreacting. They're just kind of, like, jogging away. Except for Yuriko, who has to scream a lot. But
literally nothing happens in this movie.
Well, I mean, except stuff for, happens. Except for Varan. You don't care about it.
Varan pops out a couple times.
Varan does pop out.
He gets angry.
He does get angry.
But other than that, I could care less.
I think the... Like I said, I enjoy the village destruction scene. Varan shows up at about the 20-minute mark. I think that village destruction scene is pretty fine. I mean, I think
you got to say it. We'll talk about effects later.
But I think a lot of stuff comes together, and I think that first village destruction scene looks pretty good. The scene where the military comes back and is like trying to run him out of the lake looks fine, and is fine finally constructed. And then, you know, the attack on Tokyo uses a lot of stock footage from the original Godzilla film. But, I mean, it's got some decent parts in it. I mean, it's got some stupid parts. Like, one of the things that bothers me, and, like, there's a lot of problems with this movie, but when they get to Tokyo and, like, out of the blue, the professor is like, oh, see, he's gonna swallow the flares. Like, I noticed him doing that back at the village or whatever. I'm like, why didn't you, that's a problem with the movie. Why, you should have shown Varon swallowing flares back at the mountain scene and not just, like, randomly introduced this 6 minutes before the movie. Oh my gosh,
look, Varon likes to swallow flares.
Yeah,
wow.
So, I mean, and the flare thing is kind of totally ripped off Godzilla Raids Again. Like, Godzilla didn't swallow the flares, but, you know, leading Godzilla away with
the
flares.
He was drawn to the flares.
Yeah, so they kind of Toho ripped themselves off there.
It's whatever.
Ishiro Honda. Maybe a little bit. Oh, he didn't write it. But
not his fault.
Not his fault. I guess the writer's kind of written.
He's just doing the best with what he's given, man.
Yeah. Anyway, I mean, I guess there's really not that much to talk about with the story.
It's not really a
stuff happens. Story to this. It's not really that
for an 87-minute movie.
It's not a very...
Really, not a
nothing,
lot happens.
Nothing really happens.
Yeah. So
at least not that I care about.
At least not to Dylan. Dylan was... I could tell Dylan was very bored with this movie.
Retrospectively? Never mind. I'll say that at the end.
Okay. So, would you like to move on to creature design?
Let's do it.
Monster design? So...
There's only one in this.
There's only one. Dylan, you had some comments about it.
Occasionally, the suit looks very rough. I will say he looks decent throughout most of the movie. The scene where he's flying is rough.
Yeah.
The suit looks really, really odd. But for the most part, he looks all right. There's just a couple spots where he looks a little questionable. That's mostly, I think, like right when he first comes out. He's kind of like weird looking. But I don't know. To me, he looks like if Godzilla and Anguirus had a baby, and then they put like a flying squirrel on his sides.
Combine it with the flying squirrel.
Combine it with the genetics of a flying squirrel so now it can glide.
Any additional comments, Andrew?
I don't know. He looks all right, though.
Yeah, he looks fine.
He's kind of cool. I mean, I like his spines on his back. Yeah. I mean, they're not... Mm-hmm. They're obviously not Godzilla spines.
Yeah, they're just like little...
No. Little spikes.
Spikes,
I
guess.
They look all right. I mean, he looks
his
like...
His point on his head looks...
He looks like a lizard. Like a dinosaur lizardy thingy.
Yeah.
I will say that personally, I really like the design of Varon. And I think the suit... Like, in the first half... the first half of the movie... All the way up until the Tokyo scene, really, they try to hide the fact that when he's on all fours, Haruo Nakajima is on his hands and knees. Like, they hide his back legs with houses.
And then the second half, they're like, screw it, bro, just go for it.
And then, in the second half, they just say, screw it, whatever. But I think when he's down on all fours and they're hiding the fact that he's on his hands and knees, the suit actually looks pretty good. When he stands up...
It looks weird.
The underbelly... Like, doesn't, I don't know, it doesn't, like, really match the rest of the suit.
And part of it, like, right here where, like, his shoulder is, kind of, like, flops weird.
Yeah, it looked like the whole, like, armor plating on his back just kind of looks like it's just kind of barely, like, glued on to the rest of the suit. But, I mean, I like the look of the suit.
No, I don't dislike the look of Varon. I think he looks cool. But
the membranes under his arms for him to glide look pretty cheap. You know, it's kind of whatever.
But
we got some nets in the back lot. Just
stick them on there.
Stick
them on there. But they did cut that scene out for the American version, though, because they thought it looked too cheap. Whatever. So, but I like the design a lot. I mean, the suit and execution.
I really like the scenes when he's destroying Tokyo, and it looks kind of like Godzilla.
I'm pretty sure I saw Godzilla's foot and tail a couple times. moving into effects, the effects are hit and miss. I think that the village model
looks pretty good.
And then, but some, they do a lot of like matting effects in this movie look good. Like when they're dropping the depth charges, that doesn't look very good.
When he's interacting with the plane, when he's in the ocean as he's flying, like he's going toward Tokyo, when the planes are interacting with those, like that looks bad.
That looks
like
pretty rough.
It's bad.
And then, when we get to the final scene, they kind of ran out of money, and they just started using
footage. A bunch of stock footage.
Yeah.
Like, literally the same scene that Aaron and I both called out from from Godzilla about the planes on the wires.
Yeah.
You can see them again.
Several times. He's in the same scene.
There's another shot from the 1954 Godzilla, and you can see like four or five different wires that are manipulating this plane. And I was like, oh my lord.
Oh, I love the butterflies at the beginning that were on
you can see the little strings that they're flying.
That was funny. Moving them up and down. I was like, you couldn't just release some wild butterflies in the shot or whatever, but yeah. Whatever.
Petey would have a field day.
Yeah, so, well, Petey didn't exist in 58, but I think they just wanted, like, I don't know, maybe they couldn't catch wild butterflies.
They're like, we should not.
But I don't know. I mean, there's some decent effects. Like I said, some of the model work is pretty good.
Some of the model work is a little questionable. Mostly has to do with any vehicle that...
The vehicle models look like toys. That is a little rough, but...
The planes look okay. The plane toys, they look fine, but like tanks or cars...
Those rocket launching things.
They look like toys.
They move like toys.
Sometimes they run into each other, too. I don't think it's on purpose.
It's kind of funny.
And they got the little stick figure, like, military man at the top. They don't move. Yeah.
It's whatever.
It's kind of, they'd have done better without the military man sticking out, I think.
Yeah.
But it's kind of whatever. But let's talk about the highlight of this movie.
The score.
Ifukube.
He delivered
the score. I love the score. The main theme for this movie... Bum 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 bum
bum bum bum
bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum. I love it, and he reuses it quite a bit later. But I love his, and then the military march
is nice.
Really catchy too.
No, I think it's nice having Ifukube back for this movie. I think he does a really good job with it.
He's a lot more. His music is a lot more energetic than Sato's music is. It's a lot more kind of bombastic, kind of more in your face, like rah rah rah.
I think the movies he's making. I mean, did he do any Kurosawa films?
Who?
Ifukube.
Ifukube, no.
No, I think that's why. Because I feel like if Ifukube probably did a lot more like these giant monster movies.
He did a lot of these giant monster movies.
So his scores were
just more like in your
more
face,
like for that style of movie. I mean, kind of like something that you would see for like a blockbuster nowadays.
Now Ifukube, he is considered like a really great all-time great, you know, like serious composer. Like he did, you know, his big, you know, orchestral composition pieces outside of film that are really, you know, moving and stuff. But yeah, his monster movie scores are really loud and in your face, which I like. Some people don't like that, but I like it.
I like a good energetic score.
It's nice. It really helps this movie out. There's a lot of scenes, like, I mean, I know Dylan was bored regardless, but there are a lot of scenes that I think really are elevated by his score that otherwise would just kind of be like, ugh.
Yeah.
But especially towards the beginning when it's kind of like he's playing it kind of quietly in the background, like, bum, 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 like building up tension to Varan. I think it's all really good. So I love the score for this movie.
The score is really good.
I got the soundtrack on my Spotify playlist.
What a man.
I think
this one's going to be a short episode.
It's going to be kind of a short episode.
A bit short.
Let's get into some final thoughts. Andrew, you want to start us off with your final thoughts and a letter grade?
A letter grade.
Well.
I thought this movie was a decently made movie until the Tokyo scene kind of fell apart.
That's fair.
So the Tokyo scene turned into Godzilla.
Stock footage.
Stock footage. Yeah. Oh, if you don't like stock footage, you're gonna have a rough time here in a few movies. But
I mean, stock footage doesn't bother me. It's just stock very obvious. No. Stock footage.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I'm gonna give this a D.
A D. That's kind of harsh. All right. Well. I guess I'll go next.
I can go next. You wanna go next? Care. Retrospectively, I would please, if you could, retrospectively, I would like to go back and change my grade on Raids Again to a D-. This is an F. Go ahead and insert sound clip there. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. It's bad.
It's an F.
Okay. I was bored out of my mind for the good majority of this movie.
I can tell you. So. Two Fs in a row.
Two. Well, I just said I'm retrospectively going back.
No, retroactively changing grades.
Yeah,
but,
two Fs.
Okay.
Two Fs. We'll
fair.
Get two Fs. But
I don't know. The story is kind of pointless. I mean, there's not a whole lot going on here, and it's very slow for a good majority of the movie. The characters are very poorly written there, if you can even call them characters.
Yeah.
I will say that the monster design is cool, aside from some shots where his suit just looks kind of rough.
Yeah.
The effects are decent, especially the model work, unless it has to do with a tank or a car. But
yeah.
Other than that, the effects are decent. And the score is great, so I'll give it that. But overall, I was bored out of my mind, so I'm gonna give it an F.
You're gonna give her an F. All right. Well, you know, I've always, you know, this. I think this movie gets a lot of hate from the fandom and stuff, but I've never hated this movie. I've always sort of found some enjoyment in it, and I found some enjoyment in it this time. I mean, obviously, it's a very flawed movie, and the second half really falls apart. But I think the stuff in the village in the first half is not terrible as far as 50s monster movies go. And, yeah, the characters are practically non-existent, but, I mean, that's not really so problem to this movie. And Varan, like I said, I like the creature design, even if it's not always great in execution. But really, on the strength of this score alone, I'm going to give this movie a C-.
You're out of your mind.
I'm going to give her a C-.
You're out of your mind.
I'm going to... I just...
Out of your
mind. I have
mind.
A soft spot for this movie. I don't know
out
why.
Out of your mind.
This movie's...
it's an F all day long.
C-. And it's a D. I'll be nice. I'll give it a C-. Someone's got to be nice, too.
I'm looking forward to next week, though.
King Kong versus... Yes, next week we are watching King Kong versus Godzilla, the classic.
But with that being said, why don't you go ahead and talk about your one news item you have here?
One news item, yes. So... I had forgotten about this. It has just come back up in the news. So Netflix is producing a Pacific Rim anime. And they have just recently announced that it is officially coming in 2020. And they have confirmed that there will be at least 2 seasons of it. So, and I think it's going to revolve around like 2 pilots that find an abandoned Jaeger and fight monsters or something. I don't know. But, you know, there are a lot of people in the fandom that love Pacific Rim.
The first Pacific Rim is a good movie, I think.
I like it.
I like the first
I think Pacific the first Rim. Pacific Rim is a decent movie. The second one is just ludicrous. It's just ridiculous.
I'm going to take a pass.
Well, you're going to have to watch it for the podcast eventually, but...
I know. Again.
I mean, but I do like the first one. I mean, I don't think it's a great movie, but I think it is an entertaining monster movie. So, yeah, I'm interested to see what they do with an anime.
It's a very American kaiju movie.
Mm. It is an American... quite a bit of an American kaiju movie. I hope this is going to be more traditional, like cel-drawn animation, like classic, you know, your normal anime, instead of this CG anime stuff they've gotten into the trend of doing that I hate for the anime Godzilla trilogy or the Ultraman anime, even though I like the Ultraman anime. I don't really care for that CG anime stuff. So I hope this is more like your classic hand-drawn anime stuff. But, I mean, I don't know that for sure. But I hope it is. But I mean, I don't know. I think there's potential in a Pacific Rim anime. There's a big world. There's a big Del Toro created a big world for them to operate in, I think. So I don't know. What do you think?
Could be interesting.
Andrew,
I'm not the biggest anime fan. So.
Dylan's still not a big anime fan. Andrew's an anime fan.
I like anime.
You think Pacific Rim would translate well to an anime?
Well, if they do it right.
I mean, yeah. I mean, it's got all the tropes of your classic anime: giant mecha suits, giant monsters. Cartoonish characters.
Big hole opening up to another dimension.
A bunch of characters that are a bunch of different ethnicities for unexplained reasons.
Yeah.
They got pre-programmed blonde-haired people they can put in animes. You know, almost every anime I've ever watched has a bunch of blonde-haired characters. And I'm always like,
why?
There's no blonde-headed Japanese people.
I guess I just haven't found the right anime.
Yeah, I gotta find one for you. I think if you are, I mean, it's like anything else. I think if you find one you like, you'll like it. Just like a genre of music, if you find one song in a particular genre, then you'll kind of branch up from there. I think anime is kind of the same way. Mm. So, yeah.
Maybe one day.
Whatever. Is there any cartoon show you like American or otherwise?
I mean,
other than adult comedy, like Family Guy or Simpsons or whatever.
Like children's cartoons or...
Yeah, like Transformers.
I like Transformers. Like, the episodes that I've watched of Transformers, I like. What's some other stuff that's come out? I mean...
I'm trying to think of some big American cartoons.
SpongeBob.
SpongeBob, yes.
Who doesn't like SpongeBob?
That stupid Gumball.
No.
You don't like Gumball?
Absolutely.
Gumball is actually pretty funny. Not going to lie.
That'll be fair. I've never sat down and tried to watch it, so.
We watched that one episode where...
Of Gumball?
Didn't you sit down and watch that one where they were like... No. Him and the hot dog guy,
no.
Like, kept awkwardly running into each other, and they had all those really wildly inappropriate jokes.
I did not.
You watched some of it, because we were laughing at it. But
I don't know. I mean, I like older cartoons, too, like the older, like, Hanna-Barbera.
Yeah.
I think
you didn't watch Death Note.
I think if
you sat down...
Everyone says Death Note is so good, and it's a really good one to start out on, but...
I think if you sat down, I don't think you're going to fall in love with it. One episode in, but I think if you make yourself sit down and watch it, it's got some. All anime has. I don't want to turn this into a podcast about anime, but all anime has a set of tropes that you just can't exceed. Like almost every anime has a non-human major character. There is always a lot of screaming and/or whispering, and hardly anybody like talks in a normal voice in an anime because it's either you're yelling at everything or you're like. And yeah, so and then there's like always like some way over the top characters, usually a girl that's very like sexualized. Usually the lead character is like a very like attractive leading man, and usually they're all teenagers.
Yes.
So and usually there's like a lot of inserts.
I have seen a few episodes of One Punch Man. They're pretty funny.
They are pretty funny. Now, One Punch Man, it's out there. It's just ridiculous. It's ludicrous.
I think I would like One Punch Man if I actually sat down.
If you sat down and watched it from the beginning. Because
the thing about One Punch Man is it's...
Just, it doesn't take itself serious.
It's a satirical anime.
It's a satire.
Making fun of anime.
It's like a spoof almost of anime. Yeah, it is funny. But anyway, we're just going to have to find you one you like and make you watch it. Speaking of TV shows, everybody, Stranger Things Season 3. I haven't actually started it yet. But
I still haven't seen Season 2.
Oh,
now that I just finished the show that I was watching, I might go back and watch season 2 real quick because it would all maybe take like 2 days.
Season 2 is kind of a kaiju thing, like that shadow monster is
2 days
giant in certain shots, kind of. I don't know.
I'm looking forward to season 3 though. Just from the trailers alone, I'm like, that looks pretty.
I hope it's better than season 2 because season 2 is fine, but I think it was a pretty big step down from season 1. Just being honest, so I don't know. We'll see. From what I've read from people I've like seen on Twitter and stuff, like they like it better than season 2. So
we might have to watch Stuckman's review, see what he thought.
Yeah, his review is like 15 minutes long.
Is it really? Jesus Christ!
And I didn't want to like him to spoil anything, so I want to go in as spoiler free as possible. So
anyway. It's only 8 episodes. I know what was season 2 like 9.
9, yeah.
I think I could bust that out in like 2 days.
They're about 50 minutes apiece.
I could bust that out in like 2 days.
I still got to finish The Office too. Man, that show.
I have like 4 episodes of that left.
I got like. How many episodes are in the last season?
23.
Okay. Well,
the last two are the last two episodes. The last 3 episodes. There's like a 40, a 43, and then like a 53-minute episode.
Okay, I got 21 episodes left because I've watched the first 2 of the last season. So, but anyway, we're getting way off
topic.
That's
way off track. That's not Varon.
That is not Varon. So, yes, please join us next week. We are getting back to Godzilla. We're gonna talk about King Kong versus Godzilla. It is a lot more fun than this movie. It's pretty much a straight up comedy, and Godzilla and King Kong do a lot of rubber suited wrestling. So what could you ask? What more could you ask for? Also, let's promote our other podcast for a second.
We got another podcast called DNA Film Wars, where we have a format that we've changed up here recently, similar to this, where we kind of have an open discussion about the movie, talk about it. We talk about the more mainstream movies, I guess, what your big release of the week for the most time should have a review for Spider-Man Far From Home coming out relatively soon.
Eventually.
Question mark.
Question mark.
And then we have been doing a Star Wars retrospective series.
Are we doing that next week?
Next week we will be doing our...
New Hope.
Yeah, we'll be doing a New Hope, I think, is like the... Seventh episode.
Because we did Rogue One Solo and...
Well, yeah, this is July. We've done one a month, so seven.
Count the months. Wow, that was hard.
I've been trying to figure out that the entire time. Like, last month when we did Rogue One, I was like, which one is this?
I didn't even dawn on me.
It didn't dawn on me to count the months. Like,
months.
Wow, we're slow.
What
Jesus.
Are months?
What are months?
It'd be the seventh part of our Star Wars series leading up to Rise of Skywalker at the end of the year. So if you want to hear what we think about your more mainstream movie or your typical summer blockbuster, go check us out over there. Like I said, DNA Film Wars, we're up on all major podcasting services, including iTunes, SoundCloud, all that stuff. So. All
right, and as far as this podcast goes, Andrew, what is our website?
www.stompthisway.podbean.com.
Yep, and you can contact us at stompthisway1954@gmail.com.
Yeah, and if you want to follow us on social media or see what we're up to, we are at Stomp This Way on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. So go ahead and give us a like or follow and tell your friends about us if you want to hear us talk about ridiculous giant monsters.
All right, and yeah, if you want to see our full schedule of events, there is a tab on our website that you can click on, and we've
as
got
as well as a tab to the latest news. I guess
latest news and updates. I think I have
Kaijuverse.
I have posted an update on the Pacific Rim anime and stuff. So yeah, so a lot of exciting stuff for this podcast. It was going to be a short episode, but we kind of got off on a sidetrack.
Some stuff will get edited out. It's
still going to be a little bit short, but anyway, thank you for listening. As always, I'm Aaron.
I'm Andrew.
And I'm Dylan. We'll catch you in the next one.